Now, one of our favorite guests. We talk to him twice a year. He has devoted his life to researching the history, science, and politics of daylight saving time. He has written the definitive book on the subject, Seize the Daylight, the Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time. Welcome, Dr. David Perreault. Doctor, good to have you on again. How are you?
I'm good to be back.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, so I want to start. How did you ever decide I am going to concentrate my life on the study of time? How did that happen? How did you get into this?
I have a PhD in computer science, and I was a researcher for the U.S. Department of Transportation. And the U.S. Department, I was doing many different research topics, and one topic that came up was to research into the effects of daylight saving time, how it affected traffic accidents and energy usage and a lot of other things. So I got involved with a three-year project doing that. And while I was doing it, I got curious about the history of daylight saving time. And I found that nobody knew anything about it, any of the people in the government who was working on that topic or anybody else. So I started looking into it, and I found it had a very interesting history going all the way back to Benjamin Franklin and Winston Churchill and a lot of other people that got involved over time. And so eventually I just started looking more into the history and eventually wrote my book on the whole history, which I think is fascinating of it, and that's how I sort of got into it.
As you know, all the research shows that disrupting our internal clocks can have lasting health effects and not good ones. Some scientists argue that the costs of daylight saving time outweigh the benefits. And in our modern world with 24 access to light, it's easy to ignore our natural rhythms, but they are biologically ingrained and vital for long-term health. So why do this time change? I mean, there's a belief that it's all about farmers, but is that right?
No, well, let me just think about the health aspect. There's a lot of the health talk that has been about daylight saving time has been proven wrong. There was just a very big study came out last year by the Mayo Clinic. They studied data on 35 million people over 5 years. So that's a lot of people and a lot of years. And they found essentially no effect of daylight saving time on things like heart attacks and strokes and things like that that people had been saying was an effect. So that's been proven incorrect by that really major study by a top institution. So that's one thing. The other thing is there are health benefits of having daylight saving time in the spring, summer, and fall, even though you do have that 1 hour time change, because people get out an extra hour. People stay outdoors an extra hour in the evening for 240 days. So you have 240 hours that people might be outdoors taking a walk or maybe playing a sport or maybe shopping, whatever they're doing, they're active, rather than when it gets dark, come home and watch TV. So there are effects due to the circadian rhythm, but these are the beneficial effects of having people outdoors 240 hours more each year.
Was the original idea, did it have anything to do with agriculture and farming?
Actually, that's one of the great urban myths. I don't know how that ever happened to find out. It turns out from the very beginning, one of the groups most against daylight saving time was farmers. So that was definitely not put in for farmers. They were the ones against it then. And even now in some parts of the world where there's contention on daylight saving time, the farmers are one of the groups against it. The reason is the farmers have to go by the sun, especially years ago when they were less mechanized and they didn't have lighted barns and headlights on their tractors and things like that. They had to go by the sun, and so when the daylight saving time came, the rest of the world would change by an hour, and they wouldn't, and that would put them out of sync with everything, like putting things on putting their produce on trains and things like that, are going into town to do business, and so they've been against it. As I said, because things have gotten more mechanized and better in the last several years, they're not as much against it as they used to be. But in places that are not as developed as the U.S., farmers are still one of the big groups against it.
A lot of people think we should go to a full-time standard time. And over the years, different bills have been proposed before Congress. What's the latest on all that?
Well, the problem is that people don't like the time change, of course. That's the only thing to get. By the way, the time change is no different than when you go from Chicago to New York. You lose an hour. It's the same exact thing as daylight saving. And it's done all over the world, London to Paris and Beijing to Tokyo. All over the world, people go occasionally an hour to the east and lose an hour, and that's really what daylight saving time is. So if you have people in Chicago never want to go to New York because they're afraid of losing that hour, well, it's really no different than daylight saving time. But the issue there. It's really not a... But I think the main thing is that the reason we do it is that it has major advantages. If you didn't have that daylight saving time, and you had standard time year-round, for example, which is one option, you would lose that extra hour, as I said, for 240 days. You'd have one less hour of daylight that people would be outdoors doing things. But also, in that time period, it reduces traffic accidents. It reduces outdoor crime like mugging. Because most mugging occurs in the dark, not in the daylight. It reduces energy usage. And so there's a lot of benefits in the months of the year where you don't have very dark mornings. The problem is if you have daylight saving time all year round, you would have very dark mornings in January and February, for example, in the middle of winter. And people would have to get up in the dark and the cold, because it would be colder if you get up earlier, before the sun rises. And we tried it. In 1974, we tried having daylight saving time in the winter, and nobody liked it because they didn't like getting up in the dark, going to work in the dark, and they didn't like sending their kids to school in the dark. And mm-hmm. So we tried that, and that didn't work. And using year-round standard time, you have those other problems, as I mentioned, that you're losing all those benefits. And you're getting sunrise at 4:30 in the morning that nobody is everybody's sleeping through. So that sun is being wasted. Instead, when you have daylight saving time in the summer, takes that hour of sunlight that would have been at 4 or 5 in the morning and moves it at 8 o'clock in the evening when many more people can use it.
Well, I hope my wife is not listening because she says I'm neurotic about this. A lot of listeners think so, too. And after what you said about the real story on how it affects our health or how it doesn't and that it's the same as flying through a time zone, that's more ammo against me. So I'm going to make sure she doesn't hear this later on our website when we post it. All right, Doctor, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. David Perreault. The book is Seize the Daylight, the Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time. Are you still considering my plan to move the clocks back an hour every weekend so we have a long weekend, 52 weeks a year?
Yeah, well, I think that would make everybody very happy on the weekends, but they might not be so happy every Monday morning.
Dr. Perreault, be well, and thank you again for being with us.
Good to talk to you, Bob.
Take care.